The word today is name. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Last week, we learned some names for Jesus. There are 208 of them in the Bible. Each name helps describe what Jesus has done and is continuing to do for us. Some of these will become your favorites. Here from our archives with more of these names is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Name.
Once again, today we're going to be talking about the names for Jesus in God's Holy Bible. There are 208 names for Jesus in the Bible. It is positively fantastic, and I think what I'm going to do right at the beginning here is what I did last week so that you can get an idea of some of these names. I hope you'll look them up and find them for yourself. For instance, one of the Old Testament names that I thoroughly enjoy and love, I can remember it from my early years in the ministry. I can remember the word Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which means, being translated, God with us. And there's such a beautiful song, O Come, Emmanuel, one of the Christmas songs that we all love to sing. And I can remember the children as they were rehearsing. The children, you know, sometimes it's easy to get them to sing loud, and other times they're a little shy and a little bashful. And I can remember in my early ministry, I would go when they were rehearsing, and I would say, okay, children, maybe there'd be 40 or 50 of them in a group in the Sunday school, and I would say, I'll bet I can sing this louder with more volume than all of you together can sing. And so I would sing it at the top of my voice, really blare it out, and then they would sing. And of course, they would have to work really hard and really start singing louder and louder. And pretty soon we got them singing at a full volume. And I can remember those beautiful days as we taught them how to sing praises to God, especially at Christmas time with that particular name, Emmanuel. Now, another one name for Jesus in the Bible is the Holy One of Jacob. Sometimes he's called the Holy One of Israel. Sometimes he's called the Messiah, the Promised One. Sometimes Jehovah, meaning the true God. Sometimes just the word Jesus. Sometimes Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Galilean. Jesus the Nazarene. You know, all these names, Son of God, Son of Man, King, King of Israel, King of Kings, King of the Jews, Lamb, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Living Bread, Living Stone, Living Water, Lord of Heaven. You know, all these names are names for Jesus, 208 of them. And last week, I went through three of them from John 14. I hope by now that you're reading John 14 on a regular basis. I hope it's one of your favorite chapters in the Bible. It's all about heaven. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the way to get to heaven. It's a beautiful chapter to quote to people who want to know how to be saved. Because in this chapter, Jesus makes it very clear there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to come to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And he names himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Beautiful, beautiful. I don't want to get redundant here now and redo everything I said last week. So I want to move on to some other names for Jesus and think with you about those for a moment here. One is in John 15, the next chapter from John 14. Turn to John 15 in the first verse, where Jesus refers to himself as the vine. He is the vine. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the vine and the branches. He is the vine from which all of us grow out of as branches. In fact, you know, the whole story of the vine and the branches in the scriptures tells us how Jesus is living within us. The good works that have been preordained in us by God that we will do the good works are created by God Himself within us. Jesus lives within us. Don't ever become too cocky or self-pleased with yourself, thinking you're so wonderful because you did a good work. Actually, God is the one within us who lives in us, who is producing the good works. This picture of the vine and the branches is beautiful, and I like it because it explains one of the reasons why in this life we sometimes have troubles and problems and difficulties. I would like to refer to that as pruning. You know, I know something about growing grapes because when we grew up, we have 5 long rows in Iowa of different kinds of grapes, and you had to take care of those grapes. And one of the things you had to do was prune them, cut them back a little bit. If you didn't do that, the vines would just keep going on and on and on, and pretty soon you had a 2-foot, 3-foot, 4-foot, 5-foot vine growing there, and not many grapes. So you would trim back the vine. You would actually cut it off so that the sap and the nutrients inside of this vine would come to a dead end. And so instead of going on and producing more and more inches and inches of vines, you would end up producing a bunch of grapes. It's a beautiful thing. Now think of that when God is trimming us back and pruning us, so to speak, cutting us back. You could also use the picture of a diamond cutter. In order to get that diamond to be so brilliant with all the facets, it cuts away some of the lesser valuable parts of that diamond in the rough. And in the same way, God works on us. He grinds us down once in a while, so to speak, to discipline us, to put us back in line, to make us repent, and to say, God, please help me. I didn't mean to do that. My thought was evil. My intent was evil. Please forgive me. Please, God, grind away the evil in me and help me to fight off Satan as he tries to tackle me. And the same way with these vines. Please, God, if you see me growing kind of wild here in the sense that I'm losing control of my life, please trim me back, cut me back, prune me, Lord, so that I can bear fruit. And not just a grape here or there, but bunches of grapes. Help me to grow. You know, the Bible makes it very clear God expects us to grow. Do you know that's one thing characteristic about everything that is alive? In order for it to stay alive, it has to keep growing. The minute something stops growing, we say it's dead. That's true of people, it's true of animals, it's true of anything. Flowers, vegetables, whatever, when it stops growing, it's dead. The same thing is true of your faith. God wants our faith to grow. He wants us to be nourished. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become more and more like He is, more and more doing His will, more and more producing fruit. That's what pruning is for, to bear more fruit. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So Jesus Christ is the vine. We are the branches that extend from Him, so to speak, in which He is growing fruit. Good works. Another name for Jesus, and this is a beautiful reference. All married couples should remember this one. It is in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1. Jesus is called the bridegroom. And He's referring there to you and me, the Holy Christian Church, as His bride. Now think of that analysis of the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom getting ready to come to take to Himself His bride, the Holy Christian Church. That's a reference to Judgment Day. That day is coming when Christ will return. All the dead that have died will be raised from the dead. And those that are living will instantly be glorified in their bodies by God. They don't have to die for that to occur if it's Judgment Day. And on that day, Christ will come for His church. What a reunion, what a union that will be when Christ takes His church to Himself in heaven. Just think of the glory, the joy, the fantastic privilege we have as God's children to become His and live with Him eternally in heaven. I'll tell you, there are so many names for Jesus. Like I mentioned, 208 of them. He is the Good Shepherd. Think of all the analogies in the Scripture about Jesus leading His sheep, leading His flock, how He will go out of His way to find the lost sheep, how He will take care of it if it's cut or injured or bruised or damaged, how He will put olive oil, so to speak, in that analogy to heal it so that they can be well again and walk again and so on. He is the Lord. You know, in the early New Testament church, there was a phrase that everyone had to agree to and say, "The Lord is not only my Savior, but also my Lord," meaning Master. He owns me. He controls me. He uses me. It wasn't enough to just say He is my Savior. Everyone wants to be saved, hopefully, but He is my Lord. He rules over me. I belong to Him. He is in charge of me. I am His. What a beautiful statement and confession of faith. The Lord is my Lord and Savior. It's fantastic. He is the light of the world, showing us the way. He is the Master. He is the Almighty God. Another one I love so much is the Morning Star. Oh, just think of showing us the way and the brightness of the Morning Star. He is the Prophet, meaning He tells us the will of His Father. He is the Rabbi, the Teacher. All of these, He is the propitiation for my sins. He pays for my sins. He has earned forgiveness for me on the cross. He is the Righteous One, no sin in Him. All of these words, names for Jesus. I hope they will bless your heart, and I hope some of them will be your favorites. I told you how Emmanuel is one of my favorites, the Old Testament name for Jesus, God with us. Just think of it. God came, taking on human nature, born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Savior so that He could die in our place. Jesus is everything, the beginning, the end. He is our Lord and Savior. He is true God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, our Lord and God.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.